NPR.
It is back to school season.
Of course, this year it's more like back to school season.
Yeah, back to maybe
school. Maybe school?
Yeah. A lot of schools are still wrestling with the question of just how to have school. Will it be online classes only? Will there be in-person teaching? Some kind of mix? And it is a really emotional topic. Every state is handling it differently.
There is a ton of pressure from every side. In Indiana, for instance, state lawmakers really wanted to see kids back in school. Parents were saying, we need this. We need this so we can go back to work. Also, to get the best education for our kids, start getting back to normal a little bit.
So, state lawmakers told the schools, hey, you need to open for in-person learning, or otherwise, you could see your state funding cut by 15%.
Dr. Flora Reichenotter remembers this moment very well. She is a superintendent of schools in Indianapolis for Pike Township.
We are a majority minority district. We have 85 different languages spoken in our schools.
85 languages and 11,000 kids in grades K through 12. It's a lot.
So Flora hears this mandate from the state, IRL, in real life, or else. But then also over the summer, Flora's school district gets hit really hard by COVID-19.
We saw a spike in positivity cases, which is why the Marion County Health Department closed bars recently again.
More than 10% of the residents in her area were testing positive for COVID-19. And the parents were freaking out. So were the teachers. Like, it's not safe for these kids to go back to school. You cannot put people's lives in jeopardy. Schools need to be online.
To complicate things, virtual learning is really tricky in Flora's district because more than half of her students do not have access to a computer.
For many of our families, the only device that they had available was a cell phone. And if you have multiple children using a single cell phone, or to be honest, learning from a cell phone is not an ideal situation.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Dr. Flora Reichenotter found herself in a kind of Mission Impossible situation. She had to find a way to educate thousands of students in a way that makes sure that they all have the best education and keep them safe and do all that with no money.
Actually, less than no money. Remember, there's the 15% budget cut.
This kind of pressure would have crushed most people, but not Flora. Flora made a plan.
Flora made a plans.
plural, yes. Multiple plans.
Multiple plans.
Spoiler alert, these plans did not include jumping out of an exploding helicopter.
Unlike most Mission Impossible plans, that is true. Although I would argue metaphorically they did.
Yeah, sort of.
Support for NPR and the following message come from TIAA, committed to the idea that while most things in life run out, from clean shirts in the morning to a favorite dessert at night, lifetime income in retirement shouldn't. Learn more at TIAA.org/neverrunout.
Support for NPR and the following message come from YouStudio. YouStudio securely distributes corporate audio and video content to employees. Use YouStudio to manage your company's public or private podcast, train remotely, share meetings and town halls, and improve employee communication. Start your free 30-day trial at theletteryoustudio.com.
Dr. Flora Reichenotter runs the Pike School District in Indianapolis. She is in charge of 11,000 students, and most of them do not have ready access to high-speed internet or devices that would make remote learning possible.
Also, if she opted for remote learning, it might mean losing 15% of her state funding, $4.4 million to be exact.
And so, of course, then you have lots of sleepless nights thinking, what am I going to do? What has to go when you lose $4.4 million?
Not only that, Flora needed to spend money to get equipment and internet access to thousands of students in case virtual learning needed to happen, and also to get equipment for the school itself in case school opened back up and social distancing needed to happen.
Before making any plans, Flora needed to deal with the money situation. So the first thing she did was prepare for that 15% cut.
We will have to make some significant cuts by either increasing class sizes, reducing the number of course offerings, like related arts and things like that, which would be so devastating because it's what makes a child well-rounded. But something has to give.
In the meantime, Flora wrangled a few $100,000 from the CARES Act and from a city fund. And she took out a loan. She issued a school bond for $5.3 million. And Flora's district was already in debt from a bond she'd issued a few years ago. So now her district is more than $15 million in debt.
But summer was ending, and Flora was still waiting to see what the state would say and what would happen with COVID cases.
And 11,000 students are counting on her for education, safety, meals, a safe space. So she developed her plans.
Plan A and a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, trying to work forward with what are all the what ifs.
Plan A, going back to school, IRL, classes in session, butts are in the seats. And that meant making the physical schools as safe as possible for the kids coming back.
We have social distance markers, stickers that go on the floor. We've also invested in what we call our classroom barriers. They're actually plexiglass and they're clear barriers that go on top of the desk.
So that is Plan A.
So now we'll jump to Plan D, the polar opposite of Plan A, the other extreme that Flora had to prepare for, 100% virtual learning. That means every kid needs a computer and Wi-Fi. And remember, more than half of Flora's students do not have a computer, and a lot of them do not have proper Wi-Fi.
Which meant that if the school shut down, these kids would have no way of attending class. The district had already invested in Chromebooks that students in need could check out. They just made the checkout longer and bought more Chromebooks.
At this time, every student who needed a Chromebook has one.
Boom. Plan D.
Plans B and C were hybrids. So students come in alternating days a week by last name or by classroom, and they go to class online the other days. So it's kind of both.
And then Flora waited with all of her plans at the ready to see what the state would say and what would happen with COVID cases.
That has been a very emotional roller coaster in just the last 2 weeks.
The verdict? Butts in seats, go. So we're going with Plan A.
And Plan B also.
Plan A and Plan B. Yes. So here's what's going on. The elementary students are back full time, all the kids.
Middle school and high school students have a choice. Flora said COVID cases are still a little high in the area, so students could opt for virtual learning for this semester. And about 40% of the students did opt for virtual learning. The other 60% are coming to school.
Unless, of course, there is an outbreak of COVID. And of course, Flora has a plan for that too.
Of course, she has a plans again.
She has a plans. Yes, she does. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin and Nick Fountain. The Indicator's edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.
I'm Guy Raz, and on NPR's How I Built This, how a simple splash of color accidentally launched Sandy Chilowich into a 40-year career as a designer, entrepreneur, and creator of the now famous Chilowich placemat. Subscribe or listen now.